In the next hour, we're going to shift gears and talk about parenting. How old is too old to be a new parent? We're going to hear about a husband and wife, both 72, who have just secured the legal go-ahead to parent a surrogate baby boy. He's just 16 months old. They will be 82 when he starts secondary school, 89 when he applies to university. The courts weighed all that up and said they could go ahead and parent the child. Now, I know we're all living longer. 72 may be the new 50. But ethically, morally, is there an age at which it's too old to become a parent of a newborn? Where would you draw the line?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight, the Health Secretary says he wants resident doctors to vote against strike action. It's after polling suggested almost half of the British public are against proposed walkouts. They're being balloted by the British Medical Association, who want a 29% rise to restore historical pay freezes. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, speaking directly to doctors, has said they can't afford to return to a continuous cycle of standoffs, strikes and cancellations.
Strike action, industrial action should always be a last resort. And frankly, I'd understand it if you had a health secretary with his fingers in the ears telling you you were wrong or slamming the door in your face and not making progress on pay and conditions. But in the last 10 months, you've seen a changed approach. We've made real progress on pay. We're making progress on conditions. And most importantly of all, perhaps, we're making progress in the NHS itself.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims the Hamas leader in Gaza, Mohammed Sinwar, has been killed. That hasn't been confirmed by the IDF. Meanwhile, with Gaza on the brink of famine, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations broke down in tears earlier as he spoke about the suffering of its people. The US President Donald Trump insists they're accelerating deliveries.
We're getting food to the people of Gaza. It's been a very nasty situation, very nasty fight. October 7th was a very nasty day, the worst that I think I've ever seen.
Criminal charges have been confirmed against Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan in the UK. In total, they're accused of 21 offences, including rape and human trafficking, and have previously denied the charges against them. A paedophile surgeon who admitted sexually abusing hundreds of children in France has been jailed for 20 years. Joel Swaknek, who's 74, was described by prosecutors as a devil in a white coat. He admitted attacking young patients in more than a dozen hospitals between 1989 and 2014. Police have been given more time to question a man arrested over the Liverpool Victory Parade collision. A 53-year-old is being held after a car was driven into a crowd in the city centre on Monday. At least 79 people were injured, 7 remain in hospital. And Chelsea have ended the season with a trophy after winning the UEFA Conference League. They came from behind to beat Spanish side Real Betis in the final 4-1. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks.
Well, good morning to you. I am in for Ben Kentish for one more hour today. Back again tonight at 10 for another 3 hours with you. This hour, how old is too old to become the parent of a newborn? Is there an age at which you should not be allowed to take on the responsibility of parenting an infant? We are asking because a husband and wife who are both 72 have won the legal rights to become parents to a surrogate baby boy. He is just 16 months old. He was born in California using the husband's sperm and a donor egg. But the family division of the High Court here in the UK ruled that even though the judge acknowledged the parents are at the mercy of an ageing process that will become more cruel and capricious as the years go by, in other words, cut the legalese, let's be honest, even though the child could be orphaned before his 18th birthday, the court ruled that the baby should be allowed to enjoy the social and emotional benefits of family family with the mum and the dad. Now, the parents had lost a 27-year-old son who died in 2020 and said they had taken heart from the stories of other grieving parents who found solace in having other children following the death of a child. They say they are absolutely not trying to replace their late son and are also not trying to manage their grief through the arrival of the newborn baby. And clearly, the court decided that they are excellent parents. But is it fair to the child to form deep emotional bonds now, only to have to endure the real possibility of trauma and grief later? Do you think there is a point at which you are too old to start a new family? And where would you draw the line? And how should society draw the line? Is it literally saying 70 is the cap? If you're over the age of 70, you are no longer allowed to bring an infant son into your life? How do you draw the line? Where do you draw it? And when will we know that the point has been reached where someone is too old or too infirm to be able to look after, in this case, a 16-month-old baby? Maybe you don't think that age should be the deciding factor at all. Perhaps you think there are other, more critical determining factors. Call us at 0345 6060 973. You can send WhatsApp messages to that number as well. You can text us at 84850, or you can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. We're going to begin this hour by talking to Lucy Baker. She's a Lincolnshire-based mum of three children. Lucy was 35, 37 and 43 when her three children were born. She now runs the Geriatric Mum blog that helps women navigating motherhood later in life. Lucy Baker, thanks very much for being with us on the programme tonight. Do you accept that there is a distinction between bringing a newborn into your life and into your family at the age of 43, as you've done, a distinction between that and bringing a newborn into your life and your family when you're 72?
Yeah, I mean, I had a baby in my later years, as people like to say, in those kind of geriatric pregnancy years. But having a baby, like you say, in your 70s is a marked difference. I mean, my parents are now 80, but even in their 70s, I felt like they were, you know, changing, getting older. Mm. And I think if I think about my own parents being parents of a young child in their 70s, I think they would have struggled. But I don't actually know the health and the sort of lifestyle of the 70-year-old that we're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, it's different. Like you say, it's very different to your early 40s.
So is it the wrong approach to ask the question, when is it too old to bring a newborn into your life? I mean, is it not about age, but about other issues?
Well, it's an interesting question because women get a very different response to men. So if we just differentiate that slightly, if a man announces that he's having a newborn at the age of 79, for example, which Robert De Niro did a couple of years ago, nobody said a word. A woman says they're going to have a baby in their later years and everybody sort of goes, oh, are you sure? You know, you're going to be too old, you're going to be this, that and the other, which is what I experienced in my 40s. But in answer to your question, I don't know what is too late. I don't know what the cutoff is, really, even if there is one. But, you know, age is often a feeling. Lots of people have different experiences of health at different stages of their life. But for me, if I just bring it back to sort of my situation, because that's obviously all I know, I didn't feel any different at 43 having a baby than I did when I had my first baby in my, I was 34 when I had my first. So I don't know, I've got quite a young mentality. I try to keep myself fit. So I didn't find it any different at all. So age for me didn't make a difference.
But do you think there is not a moral conversation to be had about the sort of the ethics of bringing a 6-month-old baby into the lives of a husband and wife, both of whom are 72? I mean, they will be 82 when the baby is beginning to enter secondary school. They'll be nearly 90 when the child is beginning to apply for university. diversity. There is obviously the possibility that one or both of them will no longer be around or no longer be able to be active parents as the child enters perhaps his teenage years. And I mean, there is the prospect, is there not, of creating some real emotional trauma for the child if one or both of the parents find themselves in any way unable to function as a parent, or heaven forbid, pass away as the child is growing up.
I mean, we have to be, I think we agree that, and I think most people listening would agree that 72, and then like you say, when the child is sort of 10, they're going to be in their 80s. It is old. And I know that, you know, your health declines and your, just your energy levels in general. So, I mean, we can't really hone right into the family circumstances because we probably don't know exactly what's going on in that family. But if we're looking at age as a factor, it definitely is a factor. I mean, I got a lot of stick. When I had my baby at 43, people were saying to me, well, you're going to be 63 when the baby starts university, or you're going to be XYZ age when the baby does this. And this is when I was pregnant. So I understand what it's like to kind of be on the receiving end of that negativity. And people, unfortunately, do like to judge age. And, you know, I was only in my 40s when I had my baby. So 70s, I mean, it's a marked difference, isn't it? It's sort of 30 years older than I was. But I have to say, you know, in my experiences, I can only talk from, really, I'm 49 now. I'm going to be 50 in January, and I feel in good health. I've got energy, despite lots of people around me saying, you're going to be too old, you're going to be too tired. Do you really want to be doing nappies again? You know, I was faced with a lot of judgment and a lot of negativity. So I do support that couple in some way, because if they feel it's the right choice and they can give that child a healthy upbringing, then great. But like you say, they're probably not going to be around for most of that child's life.
And as we see more cases, perhaps not as dramatic as the one that we're talking about tonight, but as we see families beginning to welcome newborns into their lives at an older age than they might have done previously, what kind of support do you find that those families are looking for? What do they come to your blog for?
They come to the blog, and they actually, a lot of them message me privately, because when they go online, they see that there's a risk involved to having babies later. You know, lots of people are very forthcoming with their judgments. And I think people come to me to kind of know that it's actually okay. You know, it is possible for a lot of women to have babies in their 40s. But the other thing is, we don't always know why somebody's having a baby later in life. There's the typical judgment of, you know, women are being career focused, or, you know, fertility issues, that kind of thing. But I've met women along the way who got married, lost their partner because of illness, got remarried, and then it took them time to have a baby. So, you know, through being a widow, those kind of situations are real. So women who are really wanting families are sometimes faced with problems that we don't always recognise. So women just want to feel like they are being supported and not judged. That's exactly what I get faced with, because or I hear from people who read the blog, and often, you know, people are just saying, because you've got grey hair, for example, you're too old to have a baby, or are you the baby's granny? So yeah, feeling supported, feeling like it's okay that you can have babies in your 40s, and it's often not a problem. You know, people are living longer. There's lots of reasons why we're still healthy in our 40s, 50s and 60s. So, yes, lots of support needed for these women, I think.
Lucy Baker, thanks very much indeed for being with us on the programme tonight. Lucy is the founder of the Geriatric Mum blog, also a mother of three kids in Lincolnshire. It's a fascinating blog, that, if you want to take a look at it, just search for it online, the Geriatric Mum blog. I'm bound to say that when I think of the word geriatric, I'm not sure that I necessarily think of someone who is, you know, in their late 40s or early 50s. And that essentially is the conversation that we're having tonight. How old is too old to begin parenting, in the case that we're talking about tonight, a 16-month-old baby son? Is 72 too old? Andy in Beckenham has texted in with a solution to the question of where you draw the line. He says, take the average life expectancy and then take off 18 years. And that gives you your maximum age for when you should be allowed to begin parenting. So let's say, for the sake of argument, 72 is average life expectancy. Take 18 years off that. That gets you to 54. Andy is suggesting that 54 should be cut off for bringing a newborn into your life or into your family. Where do you think the line should be drawn? Do you think a line should be drawn? You may think that there's no reason for any action in this regard at all. We'll come back to your calls and texts on this in just a few moments here on LBC, where the time is 9:15.
This is LBC.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Simon Marks on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Or you can text us at 84850, which is what Sully has done. And she says, what's the difference between 70-year-old grandparents raising their baby grandchild in a case where the parents of the child are dead, and a similarly aged couple raising their child? None whatsoever, Sully argues. Healthy enough, but knowing their mortality, they would surely make arrangements should they die when the child is young. I bet they also have a wider circle of family and friends and domestic help to assist them. And my fabulous producer has been looking at the rules on adoption here in the UK. There is no upper age limit for adopting an infant. You have to be at least 21 to adopt at the lower end of the scale, but there's no upper limit on that. So maybe we shouldn't be getting particularly outraged over two 72-year-olds, a husband and wife in this case, adopting a 16-month-old baby boy, because, of course, life's journey is deeply unpredictable for all of us. And whatever age we are as parents, we can never be precisely sure of the path that we are heading down at any particular moment. Let's go to the phone lines. 0345 6060 973 is the number that Michael has dialed from Southgate. Good evening, Michael.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, great subject, and I am shocked that people are being judgmental on age that a couple wants to raise a young child on.
Because you think it doesn't matter at all what the age is?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think people have a right to, or society has a right to dictate what age you can have a child. If you're claiming benefits and the government has to pay the bills and vice versa, then yes, okay. Then, you know, you can't receive and get on the government to achieve that goal at 70, no. But if you're self-financing, then you should have a right to do what you want.
Let me put to you what one of our listeners has texted in, Michael. Louis has texted in to say 40 is the right age to stop having children, as at least one parent will still be around by the age of 60, by which time the child will be a young adult. Anything older, Louis argues, is selfish. I mean, I'm not sure that I certainly wouldn't draw the line at 40, but there is a moral and ethical issue, isn't there, if you are in your 70s and you are caring for a 16-month-old baby. given that the actuarial tables would suggest that you are more likely, unfortunately, to disappear from their life, from their lives at an early age. And that is going to create trauma within that family and grief.
I agree, but then there's the other aspect of life. If you're raising kids, then you're saying you can't take risks. You know, we've had people who are in their 30s who have skiing accidents, driving accidents, even, you know, airplane crashing, you know, and whole families are lost. And a young child is left on its own. So where do you draw the line there? If someone tries to use mortality as an issue. You know, I know someone who was 92 years old, playing golf and smoking, and fitter than I am, you know. So I don't think age is relevant. It's more down to health and perception, I would have put it myself.
And what about screening at a certain age? Do you think that prospective parents should be screened? I mean, in this case that we're talking about tonight, the High Court got involved and actually weighed up all of these arguments and very seriously considered the possibility that the parents were going to pass away early in the child's life and nonetheless said that while the parents are at the mercy of an aging process that could become cruel and capricious as the years go by, they nonetheless believed that the social and emotional benefits that the child would derive by being part of a family would outweigh the downside risk of serious illness or even death hitting the parents.
No, you see, again, this is the naivety of people. My nan was 71 years old when I was born, and my mum left me in Cyprus for 5 years, and it was my nan that was raising me with my two slightly older siblings. And she lived to a ripe old age of 94 years old.
And what was that experience like, being a child being raised by a 71-year-old?
Oh, it was lovely. Lovely, you know. The amount of love I received and care and precocious, you know, nurturing and tendering was phenomenal. You know, those early years with my nan and my granddad, you know, it was phenomenal. You know, my parents, they were working in the UK, so they left me in Cyprus, you know, to build, you know, accommodation and vice versa. But, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I actually missed growing up with my nan and my granddad.
I mean, it sounds like you feel, in a way, as though you were benefited by it.
I did, because they had time and they had emotional time for you. When you're young and you're raising kids and you're working, you know, you don't have time for your kids. I mean, my own children, my daughter and son in their early toddler age, I hardly saw them. I was working three jobs. Mm. You know, it was like coming home, going to bed, hardly ever saw them. It was only on the weekends that you had some time with them. I just don't believe that society has a right to dictate how one lives their lives. Only, of course, if you're leaning on society to benefit you to raise those children, then yes. You know, there should be a cut of age, you know, for having like IVF and vice versa. But if you're doing all in your own back pocket, and who gives the right to your neighbour to dictate to you when, you know, on how you can have your own kid?
Yeah. It's a fair point, Michael, and thank you very much indeed for calling in to make it. That's Michael in Southgate. Let's go to John in Greenwich on LBC tonight. John, what's your view of this case?
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all, because the previous caller, I don't want to judge him. Obviously, he was a child at the time, and his parents left him with his grandparents. What kind of parents have you got? You know what I mean? Come on. I mean, listen, right?
You're right, John. We definitely can't judge, because, I mean, the parents were working, and, it may well be that while they were working in the UK, they thought it was better for the children to let them grow up with the grandparents in Cyprus. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot
children.
To be said for grandparents.
No, don't have children. Who abandons their children? I'm not going to abandon my child because, you know, I'm going to go abroad. I'm going to take my child with me. I'm sorry. That's my opinion anyway. But this couple, it was the elderly man's sperm that was used for the surrogate
baby.
Correct, yes.
The High Court's got it wrong. Because what are they going to do? Play Scrabble with this kid when the kid's a bit older? Who's going to kick a football around? Who's going to, you know, how are they going to go to the park and run around with their child? You know, there's psychological, whether people want to admit it or not, there will be psychological things that the child growing up, you know, who's going to pick the kid up from school? You know, your grandparents. Is that your grandparents? You know, or is that your granddad? You know, no, that's my mum and dad.
So your view is that it's going to create emotional scars and that there's actually really an ethical issue here.
Yeah, but the issue should be, how can someone at 70 or 72 get his sperm given to a surrogate mother for him to have a baby? There should be a cutoff with people's sperm donation or surrogacy, you know, so that, you know, because that's not right. That means what? If you're 90, you can say, well, I want my sperm to go to this surrogate woman and she's going to have my child. And then you're dead and buried and that child grows up without a dad. No life experiences, no memories shared with that person, you know, except for their sperm.
John, but what is the difference? I don't mean mechanically. What is the difference between a 72-year-old going through surrogacy in order to have a child and Al Pacino at the age of 83 or Robert De Niro at the age of 80 not going through surrogacy, but through natural childbirth, having a newborn at their advanced age? What's the difference in practical terms?
The difference is people like that, right? They feel that they're entitled. You know, they can have a child at age, but people like that have got enough money, right, to do what they want to do.
Okay, but we don't know how much money this 72-year-old couple have. They may have more money than Robert De Niro or Al Pacino.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's just selfish, because at the end of the day, that when they're no longer there, the child will go, oh, well, you know, grow up, and they go, oh, my dad was like 82 when he had me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, you know, yes. It's so socially, you know, and things like that. And when that child's walking around, someone says, oh, where's your dad? You know, oh, my dad was 82, you know, when he had... They, you know, you're not thinking, what's best for the child? We're supposed to do what's best for the child, not what's best for us. You know, or them. It's all selfish, if you ask me. But it's not right.
So let me push you though on the distinction here. If you look at the case of Al Pacino, I believe that he had a child when he was 83, and I think that his partner was a 30-year-old woman. So the actuarial tables obviously would suggest that she stands a significant chance of being around for a major part of that child's life, even though Al Pacino is unlikely to be around for that significant part of the child's life. In the case of this 72-year-old couple, if it was a 72-year-old father with a 35-year-old wife, would you take a different view than the view you take because both of them are 72?
That's a difficult one to answer, because at least one of the biological parents is still around and able to kick a football with the kid or take the kid out and, you know, go mountain climbing. You know, I mean, you know, children... You know, that's why people try to have children at an early stage. And even if they have children at a late stage, in their 40s, the majority of them are still physically able. And as for parents dying in a plane crash or something like that, I mean, it's very rare. It's not a common occurrence, you know. But no, in that case, as long as one of the biological parents is going to, you know, is a lot younger, you know, I don't see a problem with that in the sense of, but still, the child will still have some effects and think, well, my dad was so much older. But maybe mum will explain and say, well, I loved your father. I didn't see age as a thing. And, you know, the child's brought up with love and whatever. Maybe not so much scarred, you know, really, by it, you know. But when you're having to grow up with older parents, I mean, what are they going to do? Sit down and play Scrabble? What are they going to do with the child? Can they take the child rock climbing, these two 72-year-olds? Maybe if they're both very fit and healthy,
You know, I know people.
Well, they may have an army of friends and other family members and people that are lined up to assist them.
Why don't they? If they're going to bring up the kid, then they're not bringing up the child, then are they? So they're going to have other people, you know, doing things for them or whatever. But I'm just saying, what would they? How does the 72-year-olds, if they're very fit and healthy? I know 72 people that are in their 70s are very healthy. But I'm saying, if they're healthy and whatever. But the thing is, the age, sooner or later, they're going to die. They're not going, you know, they're at an age where they're closer to the grave than they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I totally understand.
I just don't think it's right.
I get your point, John, and it's an interesting moral maze that I think we are beginning to navigate here as we talk about this case of two 72-year-olds, a husband and wife, who are raising a 16-month-old baby with the permission of the Family Division of the High Court here in the UK. Do you think there is a point at which you should be barred from being a parent to an infant, or are you not particularly troubled by this? Do you think there's any sort of regulation that should be involved here? I was interested in what Michael was suggesting there about whether there should be limits on your ability, if you're a man, to become a surrogate father. Call me at 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a message to LBC. The time is 29 minutes to 1, and the news comes from Daryl Jackson.
The Health Secretary says he wants resident doctors to vote against strike action. They're being balloted by the British Medical Association, who want a 29% rise to restore historical pay freezes. Criminal charges have been confirmed against Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan in the UK. In total, they're accused of 21 offences, including rape and human trafficking, and have previously denied the charges against them. Chelsea have ended the season with a trophy after winning the UEFA Conference League. They came from behind to beat Spanish side Real Betis in the final 4-1. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, a high of 24 degrees.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Just accept we need stop and search.
Straight to the point.
This is a shocking night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
When was the last time your party was in touch with the electorate?
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
You can call us at 0345 6060 973, which is what Leela has done in Far. Where is Far, Leela?
It's right on the top of the north coast of the Highlands.
Oh, is it? How lovely.
It's a parish of Far.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks very much for calling in from Far. What would you like to say about our conversation about these 72-year-old parents of a 16-month-old infant?
I think that I have three boys, so I had my first boy at 21, and I actually felt quite old on the ward when I had him. So my second one, I had at 31, and wherever I went with him, they would say, oh, you're sitting on your grandma's knee? Are you being a good boy to your grandma?
No, are you serious?
31, yeah. Took him for his first haircut, and the chap said, sit nicely on your grandma's knee. I just could not get over that. So number three came, I was 39, and number one was 18, and people were congratulating him on his first baby. And he was absolutely horrified. But, you know, people are having babies much later, they're able to enjoy a bit of that young time. My youngest one's now 29 and he's enjoying himself, he's enjoying life, and you know, you're staying well longer. People aren't having to, you know, work jobs where they know that they're going to be retiring at 50 because they're not going to be fit to work. So why not? You know, it's just a number. As long as you're fit and healthy, why not?
But you wouldn't draw a line anywhere. I mean, you don't feel... I mean, even in Far, in the Highlands, there's a difference between having a third child at the age of 39 and bringing a newborn into a family at 72.
It's not their newborn though, is it, obviously? But, you know, I think the thing is, I was brought up by my granny, as hers, because I was a 1970s baby to an unmarried mum, and I was brought up as my grandma's, and she lived with me till she died. And, you know, she was 92 when she died, but, you know, people called her mum. It was, you know, back then, they weren't sort of saying, oh, sit nice on your grandma's knee. Everybody called her mum. You know, they thought she was my mum. And there was 14 years between me and my auntie, who was brought up as my sibling. So that's less than my children. I just think that, you know, if you're fit and well, and she was, and she gave me a great life, you know, so did my mum, but she was the main carer. I just think I probably kept her young as well.
Do you feel that, I mean, and part of this, of course, relates to technology and IVF, and part of it relates to surrogacy. But do you think as time has gone by, society has become more judgmental of older parents? Because now, you know, there are possibilities to be older parents that simply didn't exist, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
I think maybe much older parents. I think I think, like you were saying earlier, if it's the man that's the older person, I think it's, you know, very, very much different to the woman having a baby. Or I think people can be quite judgmental on it. But I think part of what I see from people is maybe have regrets about having children younger. Now there's that freedom to have them a little bit older. I think they called me a senior mum when I had my second one because I was over 30. I was geriatric when I had the last one. But, I see a lot of people having their babies. My cousin had her first baby in her 40s. I think you get that opportunity, whereas it was really sort of thought that you would get married, have your children while you were fit and young, get them all in within a few years of each other, and then get on with your lives. But I think maybe there's a little bit of like envy about that with some people. I don't see men saying it. It always seems to be women that will criticise older mums.
That's interesting.
I don't see men doing it.
That is interesting. I'm very concerned about all of this talk about being geriatric at the age of 39, because now I'm feeling positively decrepit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm 51 now, so I've got, they're all, you know, sort of a bit bigger now. But I just think that younger people are choosing to enjoy a bit of life first. And, you know, and I've said that to my own kids, enjoy yourself a bit first. Don't worry about settling down and having children. Enjoy yourselves as a couple. You know, it's not that he's in a relationship. And I think it's great that they can do things together and have a little bit of freedom together. Because when that first baby comes, you can't even go to the corner shop without, prams out and everything else.
I'm just doing some sums here. So, because I couldn't remember, I was 38 when we had our first child. And my wife would have been 35. I mean, it never occurred to us that people might look at us and think that we were geriatric.
There is, my youngest one, in his class at school, there is, in his previous school, junior school, there was a girl, and her mum was in my class at school. She was 28 when she had her first grandchild. I just think that this that sort of era of young girls of that age having children was a thing when I was at school. I think there are a lot of young girls had babies younger because I felt very old.
Right.
I think there were three girls on the ward with me. I was 21. Two of them were 16 and one was 15 on the same ward as me.
Well, it's a complete paradigm shift, isn't it? Because you've gone from people having children at a very young age now to the possibility of people having children at much older ages. And, you know, society's having to adjust as a result. Leela, thanks so much for calling in. From Far in the Scottish Highlands, F-A-R-R, if you're wondering about that. We're going to stay in Scotland now. Iris is on the line from Aberdeen. Good evening, Iris. What would you like to say?
Hello. I've just been listening to this being repeated basically all day on LBC, and I think it's a bit sanctimonious because nobody has suggested, and we all know there are dozens of young men wandering about having three or four children to different mothers. They don't pay for them. They don't bring them up. So it's all left to the taxpayer. But nobody's going around saying that these children, you know, are going to be this and that. Oh, and by the way, to make you feel better, the geriatric bit is that I'm not getting personal with you, because I had my first child when I was 30, and it is an official medical term.
Is it?
If you are 30 when you have your first child.
Really?
Yes, because when they said it to me, I almost hit them.
Is that specifically to Scotland, or is it across the country?
Well, I don't know, because I only had my children in Scotland.
I should have asked that lovely lady from the geriatric mums blog, Lucy Baker.
It's maybe not any longer, but I certainly know. I mean, obviously, and another thing, by the way, my husband is 78, right?
Mm-hmm.
He cycles about 250 miles a week on a racing bike. He takes our grandchildren to the trampoline park for 2 hours at a time and goes on the trampolines with them.
Good for him.
So, I mean, all just because you go past 50, you have no deed.
And how would you feel about, if you had, I'm not suggesting you do, but if you had a 16-month-old baby in your life, how would you feel about him you're keeping up with that baby?
Well, I'm at a different stage because my son died as a result of a NHS mistake when our granddaughter was three.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, Alice.
So we've had to, you know, my husband has tried to be there, you know.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I just think if we would all concentrate on making our own children behave better and stop beating up teachers.
Right.
And just keep our own family happy and stop being, you know, everybody nowadays condemns everything everybody else does.
Yeah.
Do you not find that?
Well, and I think the point that you're making about, you know, younger men that engage in having children and then don't show up and they're not there as fathers, you know, the contrast between that and a 72-year-old who's absolutely clearly very, very dedicated to the cause here, I mean, has gone through an enormous amount, first of all through the surrogacy, then through the legal case at the family court to try and make sure that he and his wife are able to bring that 16-month-old child home.
I think there's another point there too.
Mm.
I may be wrong, but I think they spent an absolute inordinate sum of money to the surrogate.
Yes,
right?
I think that's right. I'm not sure if they did in this particular case, but under normal circumstances, yes.
I think they did here. Right. And just to be completely not very money-minded, there's a good chance that this child, no matter, you know, when the parents pass, they will be able to leave this child physically better off. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure.
Which is maybe worth something. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't know the specific circumstances of the case, but I think it's
I would imagine
possible.
That they're not probably the local garage mechanic and shop worker.
Although there will be local garage mechanics and shop workers.
No, I mean for the short amount. No, I'm talking about the money.
I understand what you mean. Yeah, I understand.
That I mean, I can't say anything. I came from a prisoner of war and a young girl when I was born, and I had a very, very poor physically upbringing, and I wouldn't have swapped it for the world, so...
Well, Iris, I'm delighted to hear that. And thanks for bringing your spirit to the programme tonight. That's Iris in Aberdeen. Margot has texted in to say, regarding the 72-year-old parents, they may be in good health and capable of looking after a baby as it grows. I think, though, that the teenage years could be more difficult for them. It's difficult enough these days to keep up with the latest technology. I can only imagine that progress in that area will speed up enormously. Teen tantrums and strops are quite upsetting and divisive, and parents sometimes have to be quite firm with rules. The world changes rapidly, writes Margot, and these parents could be quite overwhelmed by what's considered acceptable and what's reasonable to allow, and the influence of social media can be a nightmare. Could they cope with it all, asks Margot. Interesting questions, reflective of the time in which we live. You can carry on joining this conversation by calling me, texting me, or asking Alexa to send a comment to LBC. The time is now exactly 1:15.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Richard Spur.
A voiceover artist claims her voice has been cloned by AI for train announcements and used for free instead of hers. But how fearful are you of being replaced by AI? Our expert will take your calls.
Richard Spur on LBC.
When you smile in.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
This is LBC with Simon Marks.
Back to your calls in a moment about parenting a newborn at an older age. But first, Dominic Cummings secured himself some fresh media coverage today. In a lengthy interview with Sky News, he claimed that Kemi Badenoch will soon be a goner as Tory leader, that Nigel Farage could become the next Prime Minister, and perhaps even more newsworthy, revealed that he has held meetings with the Reform UK leader and offered him advice on how to prepare the ground for the party's success in the next election. What exactly is he up to? LBC's political correspondent Aggie Chambray has watched the interview. And Aggie, Dominic Cummings, of course, is not the only person out there who thinks that Kemi Badenoch's days as Conservative Party leader are numbered. It's not exactly a radical claim that Mr. Cummings is making here, is it?
No, indeed. And we've had dire sets of polling for the Conservatives. One poll last week, the Conservatives coming fourth. Quite extraordinary if you think it's just a year after they were last in government. And I think there is genuine, real worry among Conservatives. Real, I think it was described to me as shock earlier at their polling ratings. And questions, of course, raised about Kemi Badenoch and her future as Conservative Party leader. Now, Dominic Cummings has done this wide-ranging interview with Sky News, and one of the comments he made was about Kemi Badenoch.
The whole system is going to go through multiple transitions before we ever get there, and it's we can't know now what 2029 is going to look like. And Kemi's going to go probably this year. There's already people organising to get rid of her, and I think that will work. If it doesn't work, this year, it'll definitely happen after next May.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a goner, so there's going to be a big transition there. And then there's a big fundamental question about far ocean reform, right? At the heart of it, which I think Nigel himself knows, reform has been a one-man band. It's been Nigel and IFO. They can win 50, 100, 150 seats with reform as Nigel and IFO, but they can't win an overall general election and have a plan for government and have a serious team able to take over Downing Street and govern and control Whitehall with one man and an IFO.
So that's Dominic Cummings there saying Kemi Badenoch is a goner.
But Aggie, he's also saying there that Nigel Farage is one man and an iPhone. And he keeps saying that. Reform UK, multiple times he said there, is basically one man and an iPhone. Is that a fair assessment of Reform?
That's a good question. I mean, Reform UK at the moment is the Nigel Farage show. And it's not just me saying that. You've had Zia Youssef, who of course is the chairman of Reform UK, basically saying that they wouldn't have achieved the success that they achieved in the Runcorn by-election at the local elections if somebody else was in charge. And every party that Nigel Farage has been a part of has always been the Nigel Farage show. I think what Dominic Cummings was saying, which is something that I do hear a lot of people saying, that if there is a chance that Nigel Farage could be Prime Minister at some stage in the future, he needs to do an awful lot of work professionalising that party and building out who would be in that government as well as that. But interesting, that was another question asked. Could Nigel Farage be Prime Minister?
Oh, yeah. Could definitely happen now, yeah. Because the old system is just so completely broken.
Yeah.
Like, it's broken enough that could easily happen. If he does what I'm suggesting and actually and sets out a path for how the reform is going to change, how reform is going to bring in people, how it's structurally going to alter, what it's going to build, how it's going to do policy, how it's going to recruit MPs, etc., etc. If he does that, then there'll be a huge surge of interest and support into the whole thing. I think an interesting aspect of it was he said that he's been around politics for a long time, but he hasn't been involved in government, doesn't understand how the Cabinet Office works. But also, as he joked, well, not joking, as he said, now I'm in Parliament and I talk to the Tory MPs every day, I realise that they haven't got a clue how the hell the whole system works. And now it's not surprising that Liz Truss and co. all just got kind of turfed out and why everything was the mess it is.
Now, I think there will be a lot of people certainly raising their eyebrows at Dominic Cummings, who, of course, was Boris Johnson's chief advisor from 2019 to 2020, saying that if Nigel Farage does what he suggests, then he could be Prime Minister. And actually, I was just speaking to a Conservative source just before this, Simon, about these quotes, and they said these quotes were an absolutely desperate attempt from Dominic Cummings to stay relevant. So they're slightly raising their eyebrows at that. But also interesting that he says, look, he could be Prime Minister if he does what I suggest. But also saying later in the interview, reform is a vehicle for people to say, we despise you, Westminster. We hate both the old parties. We hate Whitehall. We hate the old media. We hate the, and I can't repeat that swear word, but we hate the whole lot of you. So he's not basically suggesting that Nigel Farage is brilliant. He's saying he's a vehicle for how angry people are with the entire political system.
Is this, as your source suggested, simply a desperate effort to stay relevant, or is it also an effort to secure a contract with Reform UK?
It's a good question. So in this interview, he basically said, I wouldn't go back and work in politics. I wouldn't be up for working with the Conservatives. I wouldn't be up for working with Reform. But, you know, possibly he might want to come back to Westminster at some stage, especially if he's saying things like, if they listen to what I say. And he's obviously, as you heard in that clip there, having conversations with Nigel Farage. I also thought it was striking, Simon, that he basically said that Nigel Farage needs to professionalise, but he's not there yet. And even Nigel Farage knows that. He said, you know, Nigel Farage knows he doesn't know how to govern yet. He's only just an MP. And I was speaking to this Conservative shadow minister earlier today, who was basically saying, everyone is slightly jumping ahead of themselves. We are 3-4 years away from the next election and things are incredibly changeable.
Well, it feels like that on a daily basis here. But if you are Nigel Farage, knowing Dominic Cummings' track record, would you be tempted to hire him?
I don't know. So Dominic Cummings is viewed by lots and lots of people in Westminster as an intellectual giant. There are lots of people who think he's a bit, you know, a bit jumped up and not actually that impressive. But some people do think that he is an intellectual giant. But he also admits in this interview, and he said it previously as well, that he got Boris Johnson in and then he removed Boris Johnson. When Boris Johnson, I think the quote was, when the elephant goes rogue, you have to remove them. So for Nigel Farage, he might think, well, it's a real risk. And there were people that said that to Boris Johnson before Boris Johnson brought in Dominic Cummings. They basically said, you know, he will turn on you.
Aggie Chambray, LBC's political correspondent. Many thanks for that. Dominic Cummings, the gift that keeps giving, whether you want to receive it or not. Now, within the last few minutes, we've got some breaking news from the United States, and it may be breaking news that leads to a bit of cheer at number 10, because a federal court has blocked President Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs from going into effect. This is a ruling by the Manhattan-based Court of International Trade, and it says that the president overstepped his authority by imposing across-the-board tariffs on imports from countries that have trade deficits with the United States, from countries that sell more to the United States than they buy. And if I look at the text of this ruling, it says that it is absolutely clear that the Constitution assigns the United States Congress the exclusive powers to collect tariffs, to impose tariffs, and to regulate commerce with foreign nations. Now, I have no doubt that the Trump administration will be appealing that ruling, but on the face of it, it is a substantial blow to President Trump's protectionist trade war that is being waged on nations all over the world. And one of those nations is still the UK, despite the US-UK economic prosperity deal that Sir Keir Starmer negotiated with Donald Trump that was announced just a couple of weeks ago. Remember that those baseline tariffs of 10% remained in effect on all British exports except for steel, aluminium, and 100,000 British cars. So this is a big deal, this federal court ruling that Donald Trump exceeded his authority to impose tariffs and that only Congress has the right to do that. We'll keep an eye out for any reaction that comes in from the White House and from Donald Trump's social media account. I think there'll be something to see there before long. Let's go back to our conversation about parenting in older age, and let's talk to Elizabeth, who's called in from Kensington. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Simon, right?
Yes, it is. Simon, yes.
Good. Yes. Well, my life experience, if you want to call it that, is that my parents, when I was born, my mother was almost 41 years and 11 months, and my father was 51. And then when my son was born, I was almost 47, would you believe, 46 years and 10 months. Mm. And my husband, who was considerably older than me anyway, was about 68. But I just think life works out in all different ways. And the advantage of parents being older, I might add that with my parents, with an obviously small little girl as I was once upon a time, and in my case, being an obviously middle-aged woman with a small boy who was, oh, let's say 5'3", whatever. You know, people would say, "Oh, is that your grandchild?" And you know, we just say, "No, it's my child." If I'm energetic enough, I'll just add, "Good luck came to me late," which it did. Mm-hmm. I think the advantage of which some of your callers have already mentioned of being an older parent is that you have lived your own life and you're not relying on your children to live life for you or to fulfill your expectations.
But Elizabeth, what about energy levels? Could I ask you if that was ever a challenge?
No, I don't think it was. I mean, one of your previous callers said that an older dad couldn't kick around a football. I don't think kicking around a football would have been my husband's thing in life anyway. But he was wonderful about reading to my son. I remember him actually crying when he read one of the Winnie the Pooh stories.
Wonderful.
He was lovely with my son, and I love children and love doing things with them.
Terrific.
So energy, I don't think really was a problem.
Very good. Elizabeth, thanks so much for sharing that with us. A lovely way to end our hour on parenting in older age. And that ends my time with you this evening here. Thanks for all of your calls and texts. I will be back again at 10 o'clock tonight. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app. You can stay up to date on the app with all the latest news and opinion. Put your news categories in the order that you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. You can download the all-new official LBC app free from your app store now. Coming up at 4, it's Ian Payne, but to get you all the way to 4, here's Richard Spur.
Good morning, and just as Simon's been talking about a couple in their 70s winning the right to parent a surrogate baby, I'll be asking for your story if, at an older age or not, you've been a foster or adoptive parent, or if you yourself were brought up by someone who wasn't your biological mum or dad. But first, a voice artist who used to provide the dulcet onboard announcements on ScotRail trains claims that her voice has been cloned by artificial intelligence and is now being used by them instead of her for free. Now, the list of jobs which could soon be replaced by AI and its extraordinary power fair boggles the mind. So, after the news, our expert Fevzi Turkout will be on hand to answer your questions live, your fears, hopes, or just curiosities on the subject. So call me now, 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.